Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell talking about our Hawks win last night. It felt good to see them back in the win column. We'll dive back into that. Clint Capella's going to join us, too, at 5:20 today. So we'll get Clint Capella's thoughts on what's going on with this team, man. And you know, hopefully we can put it together. Again, I do think we're a different team with all the components being healthy, but we haven't seen that all season. So I don't know at what point, Mike, we'll see that.
That's funny. My wife, you know, Becky, she's not the biggest NBA fan. She likes going down to State Farm with me, and she's like, this Gallinari guy. She's like, he's really good. I go, yes, we've been waiting for this. Last night as he was just going off on those threes. And I was explaining, you know, he's the classic, you know, the classic European player. Can handle the outside shot, you know, big guy. Kind of looks like he's in slow motion, right, running up and down the court. But the guy, I mean, if you get that, you get Bogdanovich doing what he's done in his prime, combined with all the other elements, DeAndre. That's why we were so excited going into this season than just to have some really awful losses. But the last night was something that definitely had people fired up.
Yeah, and Trey too. 17 points in the first quarter. Let's not discount what Trey did last night. He had 33. Obviously, Gallinari was a story, but Trey got off to a fast start. Hawks jumped out to a 28-18 lead, and he scored 13 straight. That's what your superstar has to do. So you come off of a bad loss, and Trey immediately established himself last night and basically was saying, we're going to get out, and we're going to win this game, and put himself out in front of things, and then that kind of opened up everything else. But Trey was great last night again. So, you know, again, I don't know how much this All-Star thing plays on him, if it weighs on him, should I say, Mike. I hope it doesn't. You know, it is what it is, but I think for some reason I have a feeling like it's going to spark him for the second half of the season.
Well, like I said, you know, sometimes we've heard guys use this stuff as ammunition and get fired up feeling they've been, you know, like you got Super Bowl teams saying they've been disrespected and they use that. So, hey, whatever it takes, man, as long as we continue to see more of this. And I would love to see, you know, him, John Collins, because, again, when everybody's hitting and when everything is clicking. And again, I know this was an undermanned Celtics team, so I don't want to start crowning their butts, but we're looking for any sign that we can start to make a little bit of a run. And that's to Lloyd Pierce's point earlier. Let's build off this, man.
Let's hope so. Hey, by the way, you can always get involved in the conversation. Guys hitting us up about Representative Stevens talking about, again, sports gambling, but he was laying out all the parameters for all the things we hope to have, okay? Because I want all the things down the road. I hope we have it all. Right. But sports gambling is where it's going to start. So appreciate the comments and guys chiming in on that conversation as well, hey. Mike. I think most of our listeners, again, this is a broad brush because as much as we know about you and what the research tells us, we don't know you individually. But I think most of the guys that respond to us would be for this. I think
we like to think you guys like to partake in the same vices that we enjoy. But I mean, look, two things about this. I've always said, why can't you let those that want to engage and get involved in it do it? And the counties, and let's be honest, we know what we're talking about, Carl. We're talking about the counties that border Alabama and North Carolina. We're talking about the counties south of Macon. We're talking about that 16 corridor. You know, if you don't want to play ball, fine. Let's say if you don't want Sunday alcohol sales, fine. But let people that want to engage, engage. Imagine the idea of having either a ship or a complex with, for those who know Savannah, I'm big, I got friends in Savannah, love going down there. Imagine, Carl, having a big casino right there below that convention center. Imagine something, whether it's underground Atlanta or wherever the hell you want to put it in metro Atlanta, something in Macon, the track wants to get it, Atlanta Motor Speedway. People in Valdosta will want it to get people over the Florida line. But wherever you want to vote it in, do it. And the best part of it is, you want to be a dealer, make tips? Who knows? Maybe some of you guys might even form a union. Who knows where it'll go, Carl? But I love the idea that we don't lose revenue to North Carolina, and especially with the convention business, like with the World Congress Center. You put a casino in downtown Atlanta, you got everything that other cities can offer you. So that's where it's at. That's where we stand. We've always been on board with this. I just hate the pushback about crime, which is the most ridiculous argument in the whole wide world. You know, and I love the fact you can also try to put a cap to sort of save some of these degenerates from themselves if it goes down that road.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even know that you could do that. That's why I wanted to get Ron Stevens on about implementing things within this bill that doesn't allow somebody to go basically run up a $15,000 credit card betting. I love that idea. But, again, there is, self-discipline. And, again, if you need help, call the 800 number. I just want the opportunity to make the choice if that's what's here. We should be able to make those choices. So, again, we'll see where it goes. But it's there, man. And House Bill 86 could potentially move through the Senate, and we'll see what happens. And if it gets signed in, we could be talking about sports betting here. And that's a game changer for us here in the state of Georgia.
Right on. And by the way, you and I have talked about this before. The conversation gets sideways with some folks. Well, how's the government going to spend? Yes, I'm sure there'll be some piggies with their snouts in the trough, and they'll be all sorts. I'm still talking about the billions of dollars if done properly, where we can compete with the other states around the country. Because at the end of the day, Carl, it's going to be like musical chairs, and then you'll find yourself the only state in the Deep South that doesn't have it. And that's asinine to me. It makes no sense.
It can bring jobs and sweeten the pot for the Hope Scholarship. He laid it out for you. And by the way, if you have a kid that's in high school that's looking at colleges like me, Hope Scholarship's a big deal. And if you're telling me we could send more kids and put less debt on parents, hello, I'm all for those kinds of things. All right, with that said, we'll see where it goes. We'll keep an eye out, and if we need to get it back on as we move through this this process, we'll definitely do that. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Find us. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And, of course, this radio station, 929 The Game. We're on the gram and on Twitch at ATL 929 The Game. Let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Sigmund Bloom on the way, footballguys.com. We will talk to him about the draft, all things football in less than 10 minutes. Stay tuned. NFL Blitz is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Story that is trending today is Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade. But his agent, okay, his name's Mark Rogers, has come out and basically said, here are the teams, oh, by the way, if we were to ask, that Russell would want to go to. Cowboys, Saints,
yeah.
Raiders, Bears. Russell's frustrated. We know, Mike, that this has gone on since the end of the season. And this is something, again, we're watching. I don't know if it happens, but why now? Why is all of this stuff happening and the agent coming out and saying, oh, by the way, if we were to demand a trade, these are the teams we want to go to?
Well, as we said, the ESPN, or I should say Pro Football Talk, had it. It all started with the conversation, or at least from the public, with the interview with Dan Patrick, where he talked about, look, man, I've been hit like 400 times in the last, 5 years, whatever the number was. And then you find out the Seahawks pushed back, Carl, by leaking information about, well, Russ wanted more say, and then we had 7 turnovers. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm not saying it's toxic, but it's trending that way, right? Russell's got an ego. He sees Patrick Mahomes. He sees all these other elite quarterbacks going, well, damn, I can do that. You know, but I don't know if he's got the best receiver core. He's got a solid receiver core. We've talked so much about what their MO was, Carl. It was always great defense and a big time running game. And he hears that. He's heard that for years. So I'd love to see Russell Wilson go anywhere but New Orleans. It is ironic, though. It's, and by the way, totally passive-aggressive that the agent goes, he does not want to trade. But if he did want to trade,
right?
He's not demanding a trade, but we do have a list of 4 teams we'd go to.
So why? Why is my question. All right, we will keep an eye out on it. It's a developing story.
Sorry, I was taking a drink. I couldn't solo.
It's all good. And by the way, we started the show when we were talking about this. And by the way, Mike does not believe this is going to happen. I am 50-50 because I know crazy things happen all the time. And somebody gets sideways. Maybe Pete Carroll's feelings are hurt. And he goes, to hell with this. Let's move him. You just never know. But the Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson situation now, they're out there looming. We've already seen Goff and Matthew Stafford traded. If these two get traded, Mike, before the season starts, and you're talking about 4 quarterbacks of that value having new teams next year, that's crazy.
But I mean, but just the final word on Russell Wilson. You and I have felt since the players left, since Legion of Boom and Bobby Wagner and Sherman, everybody started to scram and leave. that he has been the reason, especially this last year, that defense wasn't elite.
No.
He's been the reason that they were able to get. I mean, they had a Jamal Adams, and he's a one-man gang on that defense. But he and Russell Wilson were the reasons that team got somewhere. They finally got the run game back on track with Carson, too. But I've always felt if Pete Carroll's big monster ego wants to get involved and tell Russell to say adios, you ain't never getting back to the Super Bowl in Seattle.
No, I don't disagree. This is your best chance, your best last chance. Pete Carroll, Mike, he's pushing 70, isn't he? Is he 70?
I mean, yeah, but he's a young 70. This looks like he's still getting on a surfboard and do his thing.
Come on. He didn't have 15 more years in the league, does he?
I mean, hold on. You know, you asked. I got to look it up now.
Everybody thinks that these guys are going to be around forever.
He's 69.
I have a chance to win right now. This is why, again, I don't think the Texans want to trade Deshaun because he gives them their best chance to win. But I think the Texans get a lot back for him. I really do. So we'll see who pulls the trigger and where this all goes. Let Russ cook, Mike. Let him cook.
Hey, I think people do. I've heard Bunk talk about this. Pete Carroll has an ego as big as the great outdoors. He got recultivated when he went to USC. He kind of was in the shadows when he was with the Jets in New England. He has got an ego, and maybe it's his way or the highway, even with a guy like Russell Wilson.
All right. Meanwhile, what's going on with Jay? Mike, apparently he's got a few teams that he's interested in, or at least they're interested in him. Bills, Packers, Titans. Is there a better fit for J.J. Watt with those three teams?
No, I mean, you know, Pittsburgh's got cap issues. Green Bay's got cap issues. I think, look how desperate they were last year. They even called our guy, Vic Beasley. You get rid of him immediately. But imagine up in Tennessee, J.J. Watt. I think that defense really could use him. That'd be a really good fit.
Yeah, that may take him over the top. And I say that again. I don't expect Watt to have 25 sacks, okay? He's not the three-time defensive player of the year. But he can go help him. And I'm curious what the money's going to look like. Again, that is my issue with the whole Watt thing. So he was going to get $17 million with the Houston Texans. It was non-guaranteed. And I've said, is he going to take less than that? Well, if it's reports of 50, he's going to get $15 million. Plus incentives, Mike, he's going to make upwards of what he would have missed out on with the Houston Texans.
And $15 million for Falcon fans is $14 million more than we could spend on J.J. Watt.
You just want to crap on that, don't you? You
no!
You want to make sure that Falcon fans know there's no way in hell this is going to happen.
I want him as much as you guys do, okay? But, you know, and if there's kids in the car, earmuffs, and I want Santa Claus to bring Cindy Crawford to me, too, Carl. It ain't happening, all right? I mean, Cindy Crawford in the 80s, but not
I was going to say, how many years did you ask for that?
Yeah,
dear
right.
Santa. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. He will stop by the show next. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. We're talking a lot about this Russell Wilson situation today, but there's so much other stuff that's going on. Sigmund, welcome into the show on the waitforward.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. What's the end game for Russell Wilson here? Why all of a sudden now this seems to be getting a lot more traction, and it seems more realistic certainly than it did just a few weeks ago when everybody said, things will calm down, and now his agent's giving teams that he may be interested in going to?
I think that this is the headline today because of the story, which may or may not be from sources within the team about the state of the relationship. And Russell Wilson, this is not the first time that he's used the media to communicate with the team. And he seemed to get results he wanted at the beginning of the year last year when he was passing more. But by the end of the year, Brian Schottenheimer, who probably was the one in the room stumping for him to get to pass more, is let go due to a difference in philosophies. So I think that there's players now, quarterbacks in particular, testing whether the player empowerment era can jump from the NBA to the NFL. And I think whether it happens with Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, we're looking at the future of the NFL, at least for quarterbacks.
Pete Carroll is a 69 segment. We were talking about it last break. Yeah. There's varying reports, depending on who you talk to, that this guy's got an ego as big as the great outdoors. It's his way or the highway. What do you know about Pete Carroll and his management style?
Well, one of my good friends, Matt Waldman, has compared him to Willy Wonka, which I think is an excellent way to determine how whatever he shows us in the public, he uses the word love a lot when he talks about his players. You know, we can see with how he's handled the offense and offensive coordinators that he's still going to be the last word. And I think he and GM John Schneider see eye to eye on how the team wins and how the is constructed. So I don't think that Russell Wilson is going to win a power struggle in terms of how the team is run or the offensive philosophy. But I also think Pete Carroll is not going to lose a power struggle in terms of where Russell Wilson plays. So, look, we're still looking at 95% plus that Wilson is with Seattle. Right. It certainly makes it interesting knowing that, you know, Carolina, Las Vegas, these are teams that would do something bold to get a quarterback.
We're talking with Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. So from quarterbacks to J.J. Watt, Mike and I were just talking about these teams that allegedly are interested in Watt. And the going rate, apparently, at least according to rumors, $15 million a season. But we're talking about what? The Titans, the Bills, and the Packers. All right, so Sigmund, where is the best place for J.J. Watt?
Buffalo seems like a good spot for him. I think it matches what this team might feel like they need to get over the top. A.J. Epenesa, their second-round pick last year out of Iowa, models his game after Watt so they could reap future gains with his influence. And I just think that this is an excellent fit. The Packers are obviously an excellent fit, and you know, it's where he's from, but I don't know if that's where they want to commit their resources, looking at the decision they have on Aaron Jones. That might be more in line with something to keep continuity. And we can't leave Cleveland now. Right. You know, that we know the number 15 to 16 million a year tells me that money is part of the decision matrix here. And it comes better situated than just about anybody else.
Talking some football, guys, with Sigmund Bloom. You can follow him on Twitter at Sigmund with an S, Bloom, guys, and that's footballguys.com as well. The you know, the quarterback situations we were just talking about with Russell Wilson and the Cowboys want to be in bed together. What's up with Dak? Has Jerry Jones completely blown this, and does Dak just get franchised another year?
Yes, Jerry Jones has completely blown this. Yes, I would think that it's most likely that Prescott just gets franchised for another year. Because if Jerry Jones wasn't willing to meet Prescott's request at the two or more previous points that they could have gotten a deal done, why would it happen now when Prescott can ask for $40 million a year credibly? So I do think that Jerry has blown this. I wouldn't be shocked if they are probing a tag and trade at this point. And I think that it's a sign to every other team that if you like your quarterback, then don't try to win at the margin when it comes time to sign them to their second contract.
Yeah, it's I think the Cowboy thing is crazy and interesting and so many levels, because I think they blew it a couple of years ago when they had a chance to sign him, and they probably should have taken care of it, but now it's going to cost them even more money. Sigmund Bloom, our guest, guys, footballguys.com here on Dukes and Bell. So let's talk about our division. What is the holdup with Breeze? Are you hearing anything about his retirement? Because everybody assumes he's going to retire, but he's not said it yet.
Yeah, this is one where he took that pay cut down to $1 million. That sure seemed like a precursor to him leaving the game, and he seemed like a player, unlike, say, Ben Roethlisberger, he seemed like a player that at the end of the playoff loss that was really looking to a future without football. So I'd still say it's 98-99% that Drew Brees is not back with New Orleans. That being said, he does seem like the kind of player that has earned a right to go out on his terms. So if he's still thinking about playing, then that is something that the longer this goes, the more we have to be open to it happening.
Talking about the NFL, guys, and what's going on with our division, Brady, and there's talk, obviously, now it's kumbaya right now in Tampa, but we said this yesterday, Sigmund, if I'm Buccaneers fans, I'll take guys moving money back, being in cap hell 2 or 3 years from now to make another run. Will they be able to keep all those free agents and make that work?
I think at a minimum, Chris Godwin is going to be kept. And the race rate now for Jason Light is to sign Godwin to a long-term deal before the end of the franchise tag period, so then they could tag Shaq Barrett and then move on to him to see what they can do. But, yeah, I think you are going to see this team put on a full-court press to stay in this championship window. And those championship windows are fleeting, especially teams in the NFC can see that. I say bring it on, and hopefully it spurs some other teams to be bold in their offseason.
Everybody's talking about free agency. We know the cap's not going to be what we thought it would be, upwards of $200 million or more. So what's the spending going to look like? I mean, obviously, teams like Jacksonville got $60-plus million to spend. They're going to spend like they want. But will teams be more cautious because of this cap situation?
I wouldn't expect it because you're looking at still the cap growing exponentially over the rest of the CBA, and teams can be very creative with their deals where what is effectively a one-year deal can be a 3- or 4-year deal with voidable years, with a signing bonus that spreads out the cap hit over the term of the contract, even though the team knows that this is really only a 1-year commitment. I think we also see for players at the top of the market, their salaries continue to go up. So you're going to still see, I think, a bidding war for the few wide receivers that don't get tagged at the top of the market. And teams are not going to be shy about spending because they know the future is going to bring more money.
What's up with Deshaun Watson? There's a report out of Houston that he met finally with David Culley, the new coach, which is kind of a strange hire in and of itself. And apparently he said that he reiterated that he wants to be traded, told him he has no intention of playing for the Texans. So is this really going to happen, and where is he going to wind up?
I think it will happen, but it will take Deshaun Watson sitting out into the regular season for it to happen. Because when we try to project the thinking of the Texans franchise right now, it's not really on the matrix of rational thinking. I think what we've seen to date indicates that. And they're also not really open to hearing outside opinions. And right now the outside opinion are just the universe is trying to tell them, Deshaun Watson doesn't want to play in Houston, and why would you want to go forward with a franchise quarterback who doesn't want to play? But they think they can control the situation, so I would expect this to stretch into the regular season because they will test just how committed he is to leaving Houston, and I do think he is committed.
Are you saying even with the new regime, it's still very dysfunctional?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you have somebody in charge in Jack Easterby that never should have had that much power in a franchise, and I feel... Look, it's the players that are on the team right now are almost like hostages, and I really feel bad for the fans that have invested emotionally in this team because I don't think anything's going to change until maybe ownership changes.
Tony, Carl, that Jack Easterby is the sleeper agent, bro. He's blowing everything up.
Yeah.
I know. People in Houston say they can't wait till he gets fired. The problem is there's no one with stones to do it. So right. Kyle McNair's not going to do it. The general manager... Well, he just got hired basically by Easterby. He's not doing it.
Right.
So, the new coach, well, he's a first-time coach. So I think there's a lot of issues there with how they move forward. Interesting stuff. Let's talk real quick about the Raiders. They're one of the teams on this Russell Wilson list. Are they committed to Carr?
No. And look, John Gruden has always been fickle about his quarterbacks. And the good thing for the Raiders, for Mayock and Gruden, is that I think Derek Carr is still very highly thought of around the league. He has a very good contract, $20 million or less for the next 2 years. And I think that a team like a Seattle, a team like Houston, would look at him as a future answer. If the question is, we can't trade away Wilson, we can't trade away Watson without a future quarterback, Derek Carr can be that guy. I also think we need to watch Marcus Mariota here. I think we will see one of Carr and Mariota traded this offseason. I'd say most likely outcome, Mariota let's say New England, who's trying to slow play the quarterback market. But absolutely, Oakland's going to be a player one way or the other.
Hey, Sigmund, before we cut you loose, and guys, if you're just tuning in, we are talking with, it's a cool website, by the way, it is footballguys.com, it's Sigmund Bloom, the co-owner. You get any idea what the Jets are going to do it to? Because we could maybe get our quarterback of the future with Justin Fields. Are they going to hold on to Darnold? Is it all misdirection? Are they going to take a quarterback?
It's if they can get a Deshaun Watson, it's certainly something they have to think about. But I think the pick's going to be Zach Wilson out of BYU. Robert Saleh brought Mike McDaniel Mike LaFleur with him. Mike McDaniel still back in San Francisco. And you're going to have that Kyle Shanahan system. Wilson is an excellent fit for that system. And then that allows them to build in a slower way where if they trade a lot of picks and whatever potential future starters they have for Watson, it may be a slower rebuild.
Great stuff. Go check out the website. We appreciate your time and talking some football with us here on Dukes and Bell. Sigmund, thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Cool. Yeah, man. And guys, this is what we've been saying. This offseason, crazy bananas. And it's going to continue to be. There will be crazy moves that will be made. Mike, he said, and I agree with, I still think the Deshaun thing, I said this earlier, is more likely to happen the Russell Wilson thing, I just think people are in their bag right now. Whether it's Russell or whether it's Coach Carroll, got some people in their bag right now.
Well, two things. Deshaun, it's untenable. You got to, and what you and I have been talking about, it. I said, is Deshaun Watson prepared to be, it's week one, week two, and then it becomes a game of chicken, right? And I think he is, and I would be too. As long as he's banked again, he's got this contract, you know, the guaranteed portion, you can't do anything with that. So it's just a matter of the teams that have the cap space. We know the list. The Jets are one of those, to Sigmund's point. So it is interesting for us. The cool thing for us is we've got options. We can trade down. If nobody goes quarterback at two, it really does give us a chance to even trade down and do some of those things that you and I want and still get our big-time stud quarterback in the future.
All right, man. We got plenty more on this coming up. Falcon Report, 5 o'clock. Clint Capella from our Atlanta Hawks joins us at 5:20. Coming up right now, though, we got some guy talk on the way.
Got a story out of Scotland, Carl. A man and a woman getting a fight outside a bar. You're not going to believe how it ended. And Mr. Potato Head is the latest victim of gender conformity. It's on the way. It's a Thursday in paradise. Hope everybody's having a good day out there. As Carl said, it just one of those days really did start to feel like spring around here. Absolutely beautiful out there. Hopefully, if you're working from home, you get a chance to kick it on the back. Maybe porch with your, your iPad or your laptop and work outside today.
Today's beautiful. I can't wait till we get a stretch of weeks, you know, like we get into March and April. Last April, it sucked because we were all kind of freaking out about COVID-19. But being at home, the weather was amazing. I just remember that. That's one of those vivid memories, if you were asking about 2020, was even though we were at home and all kind of wondering what was going to happen, April and May, just great weather, man. I hope we get the same thing this year. Right. I really do.
Yeah, man. And again, just beautiful out there. And I can't wait when we have the sun shining and like 1:45, Carl. I get out of the pool, put on a bathrobe, and I come up here and I do the show like John Barrymore.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Best, man.
First world problems. I know. Hey, man. Again, Becky has got the pool looking really nice. By the way, she's doing all the work on this. I just skim it.
What is she? Are you putting what? Just new decorations, chairs, and stuff? What is she doing?
She's dealing with the contractors, all the stuff, all the work. Okay. I just, you know me, bro. I just cut the checks. I just cut the checks. Yeah. But no, when I bought the house, when we talked about this, I got a million guys said you don't want a house with a pool, and it's a nightmare. It's a giant, bill
hole
and
in the ground. Yeah.
Well, it is a hole in the ground. You put water in it. But anyway, I'm excited. So, but again, so far so good, Carl. It's salt water. So yeah, we just kept it rolling throughout the whole winter. So I'm just going to see what happens with it.
No, those are, listen. I had a non-salt water pool, and I've had a salt water. The salt water is the way to go. I did not know that about yours. Right. But yeah, it's the way to go.
As I said,
less maintenance.
Yesterday gave the neighbors a thrill with my no shirt on there with that fat. You know when you get like that, you haven't tanned, you haven't been able to get to a beach, you're no vacation obviously with COVID, and you're just fat and pasty and white, and somebody probably got blinded from the glare off my belly as I was doing that yesterday. But anyway, sorry for the visual if you're having a late lunch. Time for some, speaking of lunch, make it a trip to Hoots Wings, guys. They bring us Guy Talk. Hoots Wings takeout and delivery is available online at HootsWings.com. Chicken wings and other things, including, guys, some buffalo shrimp and those fried pickles. I love all the fries. Three locations around Metro Atlanta, and they serve Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale. All right, speaking of potatoes and french fries, Carl, Mr. Potato Head is no more.
What do you mean he's no more?
Well, Hasbro, I think it's Hasbro that makes Mr. Potato Head. Because of all the gender-neutral stuff that's going on, he will now be known simply as Potato Head.
No Mr. Potato Head?
No Mr. Potato Head, no Mrs. Potato Head. The toy's moniker will begin appearing on stores next year simply as Potato Head.
Is this...
Yes, this is too much. Okay. Yes, this is. Yes, this is.
Okay.
Yes, this 100% is. Yes, thank more than more. Yes, it definitely is. Culture has evolved, said Hasbro's senior VP of global brands, Kimberly Boyd. Kids want to be able to represent their own experiences. The way the brand currently exists with the Mr. and Mrs., it's limiting when it comes to both gender identity and family structure. Some cheered the woke change, as the New York Post wrote, while others have called it a half-baked effort to label a vegetable non-binary. So there you have it. I thought that's kind of funny. So now just Potato Head, because heaven forbid some kid get confused. This is going too far, but hey, I don't want people to boycott the station, so you go, kids. Enjoy your Potato Head.
Yeah, this is weak. This is really weak. That's why I said I'm being very cautious, because cancel culture.
Exactly.
And how these things play out. But really? Mr. Potato Head?
No. You'd say, if you're a boy and you feel the other way, can't you take and go, mommy can buy you Mrs. Potato Head? But no, again, another thing now where it's just Everyone has to look like Ronan Farrow now, by the way. Oh, I didn't even mention that. I watched, I got through it. Becky was kind of like meh on it later tonight. I watched part one of the Woody Allen documentary on HBO.
Was it good?
Can I give a scientific term? They're all bat blank crazy. All of them.
Okay.
Mia Farrow, him. Oh, my God. The whole situation. And obviously, it doesn't look good for Woody Allen, but
Do you think he did it?
I think there's a lot of really, really creepy stuff that was going on and a lot of stuff that made no sense. And it just does. It's hard to validate or get your head around. And again, they have the cliffhanger at the end of episode one where Mia finds out that Woody is having relations with her stepdaughter. It's just creepy. Creep. And I love Woody Allen movies, like the early stuff. When I was a kid, I loved that stuff. And you know, usually, you know, if somebody has like a political leaning, I've got friends, oh, I won't watch that guy's movie. I've never been like that. I mean, I love talented people and I don't have to know what they do in their private life, but this is one that I can't get past. You know, with Woody Allen, if I see a Woody Allen movie, it's like, I'm off. I just can't get my head around any of that, nor should you, I don't think.
No, I haven't seen it. I did see the previews for it, and it was one of those things where I said, okay, mental note, mark it when it comes on. I've not watched it, but so you're saying it's worth the watch, but it's
yeah, I mean, it's just Mia Farrow's nuts. I mean, they're all nuts, you know, and the kids, I mean, God bless them, and she did a great job adopting all these kids, but it's just, when you see the story and the dynamic and everything at play, it's like, you're just like, oh.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's tough.
Okay.
All right, speaking of crazy, here's a story. I had this yesterday, but we didn't have a chance to get into it. A Scottish woman bit off part of a man's tongue in a wild street brawl in Edinburgh. This happened back in August. It just went to court last week. So she bites in this fight. Somehow she gets into it. Either it's a boyfriend and they got into a fight and they're kissing and she bites his tongue because she was mad at her. She was so mad at him about something that happened in the bar, according to this paper. So she bites off a piece of the guy's tongue and it falls on the ground.
Oh.
And a seagull swoops in and takes it.
Disgusting.
That's what I said when I read this. I will put the link up at Mike Bell ATL from the Edinburgh Evening News. Bethany Ryan, 27, clashed with a man named James McKenzie, sparking an argument. After McKenzie walked towards Ryan with a clenched fist, they weren't even boyfriend, girlfriend. She inexplicably kissed him on the mouth and then chopped off a 3x2 centimeter piece of his tongue. Prosecutor Susan Dixon said in the Edinburgh court Thursday, this is last week, kissed him on the lips, she bit his tongue, tongue falls on the ground, seagull makes off with tongue.
So you know what James said to her?
Did they get your tongue out?
I read the story twice.
Did they take her?
What have you done, you stupid? Anyway, so the laceration of the tongue... It did not require surgery, given that the piece of tongue was no longer available
and
could be not reattached. She was arrested, pled guilty to the assault, according to the newspaper. It wasn't immediately clear what prompted the argument between her and the other guy.
So what happens? I don't even know. Mike, can you get that put back on? I mean,
no,
can you get a replacement? How does that work?
Mine. The seagull ate the piece of tongue.
Oh.
I would presume it's near the tip of the tongue. So now he's got like a chunk missing. And again, if you guys know, there's taste receptors, right, for different parts of flavors and stuff all in different parts. So he's lost something. I mean, it sounds like something out of like a street brawl in the Gangs of New York, right? When DiCaprio and the crazy like witch lady with the spike glove is going, you know, all those. That's what it sounds like. Something would come like an 1840s street fight.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. I feel for the guy. I do.
I just
having your tongue bit off. Like to me, that's like the extreme of extremes, right?
It's a creepy story, but I saw that. I said, I'll share this with our listeners.
Would you rather be kicked in the stones or lose half your tongue?
Stones.
Yeah.
I mean, I presume. Well, actually, the dog did. He stepped on me the other day when I was laying on the couch. So I was down. I was down for the count for about 20 minutes last night.
If you've ever been hit like really hard, I mean, it will. You will be a little infant. You will be in the fetal position.
I mean, Becky's like, are you okay? I'm like, no. No, I'm not okay. Like, you know, tears are coming down my... Again, it's hard to explain. All right, real quick, before we get out of here, we got more Guy Talk coming up at 5:40, including somebody... You hear about the kidnapping with Lady Gaga's dog?
Yeah, man. Michelle just told me about it. That's bananas.
We're
too.
Both dog lovers, but the story... I mean, the poor guy walking the dogs. We'll tell you that story at 5:40. Real quick, Carl, why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
because a truck got hit carrying the chickens and they flew across the street. This happened up near Dawsonville. I guess it was this morning. Dawson County Fire and Emergency Services, according to Channel 2, had a big handful about 7 a.m. A truck carrying chickens overturned on Highway 53 near Highway 183. This is up in Dawson County. That's up by that that racetrack, that private racetrack that all the rich guys built up there. It's really pretty cool. I haven't had a chance to ride up there because no one's invited me. Hint, hint. But anyway, it's up there in Dawson County. No injuries, Carl, but dozens of chickens got loose and roamed the area afterwards.
Mm. No, hours for dinner tonight.
Hours after the crash, crews were able to wrangle the chickens, right the truck, and reopen the area. But, I mean, again, it's not like when that bank was at the armored car, the door opened up and, you know, millions of dollars were, like, shattered on 285. Do you think it'd be bad form just to grab a chicken and take it home and pluck it and cook it?
Well, as I was saying, I mean, if I was just rolling through and I saw random chickens, I'd be like...
Well, first I say, I was going to say you got to hit it first.
You know? So I will tell you this. So my mom, she grew up and where, you know, they raised like the food right there where they had chickens. And so she, the first time I ever saw that, because she was like, we're going to have chicken tonight. And we were at my grandmother's, my grandfather's house as a little boy. And I was like, oh, and I was like, where? And she was like, these chickens. And it's the first time I saw the neck. It freaked me out. Freaked me out.
My grandfather
had
some,
they had some
property.
Let's take the feathers off.
Oh. Some property out in Suffolk County, and yeah, first time I ever saw that. But he gave the chicken the chop, Carl. And you see the chicken flopping around as when you're a 6 year old kid. That's kind of messes with you, dare
I say. It was like, where's the chicken? That memory stayed with me, and ever since then, I always told my mom, I was like, I don't want to know how the chicken is. I just want to eat the chicken.
I just want it on my plate. And that's the same attitude, guys. You just want your wings from our buddies at Hoots. As for Dukes and Bell, Hey Man Al, three locations around Metro Atlanta. They bring you Guy Talk.
What are we gonna do at 4? Reports are we're moving to 2. Why would we do that? Brian Fisher's going to join us. Athlon Sports. We'll talk draft with him next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.